Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome back to The Songwriter Show right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are just the world to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every single Tuesday evening. I believe that every song is a story. Tonight's guest is Chad Lewine. He followed the same path that most aspiring talent does. At 5 years old, he knew he wanted to be a rock star, but the reasons for the dream have shifted throughout his life. During the second half of 2022, his mission fully crystallized. Through the turbulent end of an abusive relationship and a renewed and confident sense about his music, Pop for Good was born, and the first proper brand was developed for his artistry. With an image that matches his outspoken, somewhat existentialist, and controversial perspective, he has fully owned his mission and is releasing the first single from an upcoming EP, Dark Nights, on February 15th, 2023.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Chad. How you doing?
Hey, Sorontos. Thank you very much for that glittering intro.
No problem, man. Thank you for being on the show with us tonight.
Yeah, I'm here.
Tell us a little bit about when you were 5 years old, what happened? Did you have an epiphany? How'd you get into this rock kind of life?
Love that question. That specific question I haven't had. So it's very specific. Based on some memory, some recording, video, and some of what I was told by my parents, that at five, I had discovered Free Willy. I think Free Willy came out, I don't know, early 90s. But the movie Free Willy and Michael Jackson's song Will You Be There was the main theme song, and I fell in love with it, and that was it. I became attached to Michael Jackson and thereby pop music as well, and I told my mom, like, I want to be a rock star before, like, sooner earlier than Michael Jackson became a rock star.
Okay.
Which wasn't possible at that point, but that was the moment. The specific 5-year-old thing.
All right. And tell us a little bit about your instrument. What's your instrument? Is it your voice, piano, guitar? Like, what's your main thing?
Yes, my instrument. I used to say I play the computer, but yes, it's my voice. I took saxophone. I took guitar like a year of each. Never really wanted to commit because I was already good enough. Ha ha ha. Within the last several years, I have sharpened my voice. I have treated it like an instrument, and that is now. My words and the voice are the instrument.
Okay. How's your family? Did they support you growing up?
Well, the answer to that is yes. But I'm learning through the last year of therapy that I had a pretty emotionally traumatic childhood. And I would say I didn't have the most loving, emotionally supportive, emotionally available family. I have a very abnormal, you know, family life, perspective of family. They did support me, absolutely. But outside of that, very different. Not what I expected, but it definitely is true.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your performances in public. Have you done a lot of public stuff? Are you kind of putting that on hold? How is that working out for you since COVID?
I mean, since COVID, I've done two shows in my local town, which is like a suburb outside of Philadelphia. I had one coming up on Saturday as well. All the same intimate little venue. But before COVID, I mean, I played quite often in New York City. Not that I had a fan base, but I have extensive performance experience and hoping to ramp that up this year in terms of attendance.
Okay. How do you write songs? How do you get started? Is it loops? Is it a drum groove? Tell us a little bit about your process.
Great question, because I think this is something that makes me unique, not only one in the world, but I wait for something to hit me. I like a thought, a feeling, an emotion. Then I act. Then something's running through my head. I used to make beats first and then sing over them, but I decided a couple years ago that I wasn't going to continue to produce, try and fully produce my stuff. I was going to just get the song together and have a much more experienced, legitimate producer do that part. So now, if a thought, feeling, or emotion is strong enough that it pushes through whatever my initial, like, my baseline mind set, if something comes through, like, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling bad, I'm excited, something's pissing me off, something's confusing me, I have a question about life, that is when usually like a lyric and a melody come in the form of a very quick line, and that becomes usually becomes the chorus, and I build it out from there.
Okay.
Literally just singing into my phone recorder to get it down, and then building it from there.
iPhones have revolutionized the whole process, man. It's so cool now. If you got like a catchy melody on the tip of your tongue, you just record it, save it for later, as opposed to trying to forget stuff, you know?
Yeah, and I never even put that together until right now that I'm like, oh, I had this really unique process. Why doesn't everyone do this? Well, they couldn't before the last 10 years. So I'm going to give everybody else before me a break.
Yeah, no, I get it. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing to continually, as songwriters, we want to keep trying to get better. What's your process? What are you kind of attacking, whether it's YouTube videos, whether it's lessons? How are you trying to get better?
Well, better, I would say better in terms of skill is what I have the past, specifically about the past year or two, I've gotten really, I've been sharpening my popping, what I call like popping a song skill, where it's like you can have a song, right? You can have a vocal, but then really like whittling away at the syllables, stripping down the words, making it as simple as possible, very like extremely on the beat. You're breathing on the beat. You're cutting words up on the beat, like really popping that like rhythm of the vocals is something I've been focusing on getting better now and for the skill. And then getting better at hosting things that are easy to do, like capturing moments that are easy to do, just me singing in my office and posting them, tweaking them a little bit. But that's what I've been doing past year, is like learning what I can do on a regular basis that is appealing to both the viewer and the algorithm.
Yeah, okay. Tell us about your song titles. Are they important to you? How do you come up with them?
Yeah, they are important. How could they not be? I mean, this is part of my whole platform. Like, the song title is crucial. I mean, my content is unique by nature, so I don't have that much trouble having unique song titles, but I do try to ensure that my song titles are not like, "You Broke My Heart," or "I'm Really Mad," or whatever. I have song titles that are gonna stick out, and not in a look at me crazy, you know, drugs, sex, rock and roll kind of way, profanity kind of way. Like not shock value. Like, I'm coming from an intrinsic, introspective, can you relate to this? Or like somebody being like, oh, that's like an interesting couple of words. I relate to that. Let's listen to that.
Tell us a little bit about this song we're going to hear. What inspired it? What do you want to take from it when we listen to it?
The song is on the superficially, the song is about me wanting to buy a house because I'm tired of not having a sonic environment that I can be free in and be free from annoying other people. So that's what the song is originally about. And that's what the lyrics are about to a point. But then it's really about, like, why don't I have a house by now? Because the economy is where it is. The socioeconomics are where they are. So it became a commentary on socioeconomics of our time, and specifically millennials, but I mean, it affects everyone. But right now, the housing market's a big thing. Millennials are running into this issue of buying homes, where we are really trying to realize we need to, but it's not as easy as we thought it was going to be. So this is my millennial anthem, 35.
Okay, awesome. Tell you what, let's take a listen, and we'll come back and talk some more, okay?
Yep.
All right, awesome, guys. Check this out. Here we go.
Hello. 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 It's Chad here. Are you ready to go? I'm ready to go. Yeah, I'm ready to fly. Yeah, I'm ready to buy a house by 35. World ain't the same. Time flies back. Strapped by cash, rat smack by stock smash. Let the world fall. I'm standing tall. Wanna stay alive. Wanna buy a house by 35. Whoa. I wanna buy. I wanna buy. I wanna buy a house. Wanna buy a house by 35. Whoa. 35. Chance while I still got time. Never be the same, never gonna be the same again. Took about 1,000 pounds, still counting me out, but I'm gonna put a hurt on them. You know they don't want us to be happy, but they're gonna find out. It's no longer their town, I'm gonna buy a house.
Work hard, play hard, it's way hard. Just wanna make. Work hard, play hard, it's way hard. When I just wanna make, I just wanna.
Song. Thank you for sharing it with us, Chad.
Thank you for listening.
You're welcome. What does 2023 have in store for you and your fans? Anything hot and exciting you want to share?
So I've got, I don't know when this episode's coming out, but I have a song called Dark Nights coming out February 15th. It's going to be the second song that I'm like properly released, producing and releasing under my given name, under, and it's the first song I'm releasing under the Pop for Good brand. It's about addiction. I wrote it about a friend who was addicted to painkillers, and I had never been around that before. And I saw it, and I was like, whoa, this is like rocking my world in a scary way. Wrote that song about him in 2013. Come 10 years later, I had my own addiction issues, which I'm pretty much through. But I decided that based on all the addiction issues that happen in the entertainment industry, specifically music, specifically the pop categories, and my own experiences, and mental health gaining momentum in the conversation of the mainstream, that this would be a song to go with hard. And I'm excited about that.
Cool. Can you tell us on your phone right now, if we were to steal it from you, what's the app that you use the most?
Instagram and Spotify and email.
Okay.
You have to pick one.
Yeah. You reading any good books?
Funny you ask that, because I am a proud, like, I don't read person. I don't read books. I read a lot. I read, I study the human experience. I study what's happening in the mainstream. I study things. I read, but I don't read books. Though I'm hitting this point where I'm tired of streaming I'm tired of streaming video stuff. I'm tired of Netflix. I'm tired of that. Like, I'm just so, I think most of, a lot of us are, we have streaming burnout from doing it for 2 years straight during COVID.
Yeah.
And people like podcasts, but I personally just, I can listen. I can, but I just, they're just not quite for me. Ironic, right? But I literally, so I watched a show, a series on Netflix called Pretend It's a City, which is with Fran Lebowitz. And I fell in love with her. I knew who she was, but I didn't really know much about her work. And I fell in love with her, and I bought her book. And the Fran Lebowitz reader is on my nightstand. First book I've had on my nightstand since in 10 years. Although I did buy Hook Point, which is by a guy named Brendan, somebody who does, like, it's all about the first 3 seconds of a video.
Yeah.
And so that book also was right before this other one, Hook Point.
Okay, cool. When you look at your musical journey, where would you like to be in 5 years?
5 years. There needs to be an entity set up to hold the music industry accountable, and I want to be supervising it.
Okay.
Morally accountable.
I was just going to ask you, you know, to define that, but okay, morally accountable. Okay. What makes you want to have that as your mission? Like, what makes you want to go down that route? There must be a reason behind that.
Right. And that's under the whole Pop for Good thing that I'm, every day I'm getting even a little clearer on it. The mission is to live and perform by example, that, and raise the awareness that what's coming through the mainstream is scary. It is discouraging. It is counterproductive. It is decadent. It's indulgent to the point where it's negative, and having a negative impact on kids. It's having a negative impact on everyone, but it's the kids that I'm worried about now, because I grew up with, you know, a little bit of raunchiness, debauchery happening in the mainstream, and there's a place for that, but it's overrun the mainstream right now. The negativity, the darkness, the glamorized excess has overrun, and we need to get it back into balance. That is the reason for the mission, because it affects quality of life. It affects society.
Yeah, I think you're onto something, and I totally agree with you. I think it's a great mission.
Thank you. And you're a part of it. I mean, I read your stuff. You understand it. So, like, it's not just me. I'm just here to, like, just be a spark to ignite the larger movement.
Yeah. And sometimes that's what it's about, right? Just stimulating the conversation and trying to get people to, you know, we're creative, right? So yeah, we try things, but overall the direction, I think you're right. I'm a little overwhelmed with streaming. How much Netflix, Apple TV, Hulu, Peacock.
Right.
You know, it's just like, there's just, the talent is spread thin everywhere. And I will watch a show that isn't rated well, isn't whatever. There's so many good things going on in everything now. The competition is insane.
Yes. And now, especially in the holiday period, I feel like I've got all these streaming apps and nothing's on. And we're back to that whole, like, 100 cable channels and nothing's on.
Yeah, totally. All right. Tell us about your website, your socials. Where can fans buy or stream your stuff?
Yeah, my website is chadlewine.com. That's chadlewine.com. I am at Chad Lewine on every platform. And you can, I mean, I love Spotify. I mean, I know that there's a problem with how artists are paid, but I, you know, want to listen to my music, go to Spotify, listen to my music on Spotify. You can buy it on Bandcamp. That's fine. Of course, I'll be grateful for that. Like, that's great. And I will be, that's fine. But Spotify is where the activity needs to be. I don't need to, like, monetize, and I don't have anything to monetize right now. So I would rather just people go listen on Spotify. Trigger the algorithm. That's what I want. Trigger the algorithm.
Yeah, I totally get it, man. All right, brother. It was a great talking to you. Obviously, I wish you nothing but the best, but thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks so much, Sorrentos.
You're welcome. So to all the listeners out there, thank you so much for spending a little bit of your precious time with Chad and I. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We both hope your unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorrentos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. I love you guys. Have a great night.
to the city that one day. There I found so much trouble, nearly drowned. The bold taste was a thrill, but a waste. Only ended up in a corner, badly dented up. Each dawn brushes, no real freedom in the rain. It's the smell of wonder and
www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.